Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, keep your head down. It's a piece of advice that has a variety of meanings used for many different situations. When you're playing soccer and you're about to shoot on goal, you have to keep your head down or else you're going to put the ball way over the crossbar. In baseball, when you're swinging at a pitch, you have to keep your head down to get proper contact with the ball. And in golf, you have to keep your head down because, well, I don't really know why. I just know you're supposed to keep your head down. The only thing I really know about golf is that I'm no good at it. In sports, keeping your head down is a fundamental aspect. It's all about focus, having good form, so you can pay attention and do your best at the task at hand. See, Jesus, he was constantly doing this kind of keeping his head down all throughout his ministry. As we read in the Gospels, we don't find a Messiah who's constantly wandering around and doesn't seem to be focused or on task with his disciples or his Heavenly Father having to bring him back to task. Jesus, he was so focused on the people who were in front of him. From his baptism to the cross, Jesus knew what his mission was. And he made sure that he met people who needed to see the Messiah. I mean, in our reading today, Jesus makes it extremely obvious who he is here to see. He says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. You see, Jesus says this just after he has called a tax collector named Matthew. You see, up until now in this Gospel of Matthew, we're at chapter 9, and we haven't really found out too much about this Matthew character. So we don't really know exactly what we should be expecting from him. But he's a tax collector at a booth, probably keeping his head down. Because keep your head down. In the world of business and academia, keeping your head down has an entirely different meaning. In those spheres, it means go about your work, but make sure that you're unnoticed. Don't be the one who stands out for any reason, good or bad. Don't try to go the extra mile, but don't fall below set standards either. Keep your head down, and you'll be fine. Troublesome kids, when they go off to class, are told frequently, keep your head down, stay out of trouble, and you'll be fine. Cooperate, assimilate, graduate. Nobody cares really if there's a focus or a lack of focus. This kind of keeping your head down, it's all about maintaining the status quo and getting by with as little trouble as possible. You won't ever get promoted or recognized for any really good work, but neither will you really incur the wrath of your boss or your fellow workers. You need to watch out for yourself because nobody else will. And while there's no definitive proof in Scripture, I can't help but feel that this is the kind of keeping your head down Matthew is doing at his booth. He's a tax collector of Herod Antipas in Galilee, so we know that he's not exactly a traitor to his people, but at the end of the day, he's still a tax collector. He's not in a tree like Zacchaeus, waiting to see the Lord, not doing anything strictly remarkable or noticeable. He's just sitting at the booth, ready to collect taxes. He's doing his job. He's keeping his head down. He's ready to collect taxes, and it should have been a day like any other. But then Jesus calls to Matthew, "Follow me." Two words. That was all it took for Matthew to abandon the only way of life he knew. It wasn't a necessarily glamorous or extraordinary life that Matthew was leaving behind. It was a life of counting coins and making sure that Herod got what was supposed to come to Herod. It was unremarkable, really, by all accounts. And yet, Jesus called him. He called him into the remarkable. I mean, Matthew didn't know it yet, but he was about to get a front row seat to the work of the Messiah, who is about to change the world in the most remarkable of ways. In the next chapter alone, Jesus gathers his disciples together and he gives them authority over all the unclean spirit. He gives them the power to heal any disease, any affliction. They are to go, Matthew and the disciples, and proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, this was a life. It was all about lifting up their heads and seeing the people around them in need. But Jesus warns them that persecution will come. They will be flogged and dragged before governors and kings for the sake of Christ. I mean, this isn't going to be a life on easy street. It was going to be grueling. It was going to be difficult. It's the same life you and I are called into. Because, dear brothers and sisters of Christ, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christ has called you out of death and into life so that you may have life to the fullest. You and I have been entrusted with the gospel so that it would be spoken to a people who desperately need it. It's a remarkable calling. It's unlike any other calling in your life, and it's a sharing of the hospitality of Christ. I mean, notice that after this calling of Matthew, Jesus sits down with the sinners and the tax collectors. This is what causes these Pharisees to question the disciples of Jesus. Why would Jesus share a meal with these people? They can't elevate Christ's social status. They have nothing good to offer Christ, just like you and me. You see, the devil is constantly trying to tell you to not care about your neighbor. He tells you, chase after careers, go after pleasures, pursue self-interests. Don't try and go the extra mile, but also don't fall below set standards either. Keep your head down, and you'll be fine. Don't worry about anyone else except for yourself. I mean, they can't raise your social status. They've got nothing good to offer you. But I think Martin Luther got it right when he said, Wir sind alle Bettler. We are all beggars. Because you and I, we're poor, miserable sinners who have nothing to offer Jesus for his amazing grace. And yet, even still, he is preparing rooms for us in his Father's house. Jesus invites us to this table so that we may eat of Christ's body and blood and find the forgiveness of sins. He invites people who don't have anything to offer, no way of adding value to this gospel. Because this hospitality, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. His hospitality is all about bringing the greatest possible value to our lives. For nothing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if this is the hospitality that Christ showed to Matthew, to tax collectors, to sinners, to poor, miserable sinners like you and me, then this is the hospitality you and I are meant to show to the people in the world. Because the focus of Christ, it hasn't changed even after all these years. You see, when Christ kept his head down, it was to focus on bringing the gospel. And now, he uses you. He uses me. He uses his church to bring about the gospel here on earth. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So keep your head down. Focus on the gospel. Show hospitality. So be it. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen.